I am joined on the phone today by House Majority Leader in the Minnesota Legislature, Ryan Winkler. Now, Ryan, you are from Bemidji, as I recall, right?
That is correct. Bemidji High School, class of 1994.
All right. So the Minnesota House is back in session. You guys have been very busy, but I think what has sparked a lot of interest and attention is the legalization of marijuana. Do you want to tell us your thoughts on that particular item?
Yeah, I have been leading an effort in the last 2 years to make sure that Minnesota gets this issue right. We are seeing states around the country move towards legalization, and it's really a matter of time before the current system of using the criminal justice system to prohibit cannabis entirely falls apart. It hasn't been doing a very good job of protecting Minnesotans. It hasn't done a very good job of keeping cannabis out of the hands of kids. We have significant racial justice problems in the way that we're enforcing our cannabis laws. And it's just time for us to change what we're doing, change our approach, regulate it, clean up criminal records through expungement, and provide a safe legal way for Minnesotans to enjoy a product or use a product that can be done safely.
So I imagine the House bills, I haven't looked at them myself, I'm sure I will after I hang up the phone, but it would be revising the criminal code in Minnesota statute. But in the states that have legalized it, there is some significant revenue to be made. Do you have any idea of what sort of revenue that the state could make off marijuana sales?
I think over time it could be significant. We make money off of cigarette and alcohol taxes, in part because those products also have a social cost, just like cannabis has a certain level of social cost. So it's fair to tax it so that the product takes care of its own self through the taxes it generates. What we're trying to do to start, though, is to take an illegal black market and migrate it into a regulated marketplace. So if we have taxes that are too high, if we have regulations that don't make sense, the black market will continue and the legal marketplace will struggle to take off. We're trying to get all of the advantages of a legal regulated product, and we can't really do that if we have a big black market out there. So taxes won't be too high to begin with. We're not starting with a goal of raising a lot of revenue. We're starting with the goal of trying to create a better regulatory structure for this product.
So anecdotally, I've read some articles on this subject, and some of the criticism of the legalization of marijuana is that, it gets kind of bougie. Middle-class white folks tend to pick up the business, in some states, black people who have been accused of marijuana crimes are still sitting behind bars.
Yeah, we have heard this concern. I mean, in putting this bill together, we were in 15 different communities around the state, including Bemidji, and we heard the same message everywhere, which is we don't want this to be a big corporate-dominated industry. We want to address the past injustices, and that's why our bill is very much focused on creating a Minnesota-based industry for small and even micro-sized businesses to have a real advantage in getting started. And we expunge criminal records and provide funding resources for communities that have been especially hit hard by the war on drugs related to cannabis. So we do our best to address those challenges in this bill and have really engaged in a long conversation, really studied what's gone on in other states to put a package together that will be fair, will serve the interests of Minnesotans, and will right some past wrongs.
All right. And I know the Minnesota legislature is working on numerous things, but I'd also like to talk about education funding. I'm not sure if you know, but your alma mater, Bemidji School District, is looking to cut $5.4 million from its budget just to, have a fund balance in their coffers and avoid any budget shortfalls. What sort of things are happening for Minnesota schools this session?
Well, first of all, when I was coming through the Bemidji schools, they were great. And even though the property tax base of the community wasn't strong compared to other parts of the state, we had good schools because the state provided funding so that every kid around the state could have a good education. That has fallen apart over the years, and state support for local education has declined year after year, to the point where we're not a leading state in education funding anymore. So that happens. When that happens, it means that local property taxpayers are picking up the tab, and school districts that either can't get levy referendums passed or where the property tax wealth isn't as high end up falling short. And that's what we're seeing around the state. And a lot of unfairness in, you know, for education for kids based on where you happen to grow up. So we do need to address it. We will make education funding a top priority this legislative session. I'm very hopeful that the economy is going to be improving, that federal aid in the new Biden administration and with the new Congress will come through to help Minnesota. And I think that will flow directly into school districts through Democratic policies in Washington, but also help the state budget picture and allow us to do a better job for local school districts.
Another hot topic this session is COVID-19 executive orders and related funding for struggling businesses. Can we expect to see any more help for our small business community in this session?
Well, the best thing we can do for business in Minnesota and for citizens and consumers is to get the virus under control, to get people vaccinated, and to allow people to safely return to normal life. The good news is we're finally seeing vaccination rates passing the number of people who have COVID, and we're starting to see less transmission through long-term care facilities and other congregate living type places. So it feels like we're moving in the right direction. As we look at what Washington does for extending unemployment, for providing additional business assistance, for providing direct aid to the states and direct aid to individuals, I think we have a real opportunity for our economy to come back pretty strongly. So what we're going to do at the Capitol in St. Paul is look at what Congress gets done, look at what the Biden administration is able to send out, and try to fill any gaps that are out there.
Right on. All right. Well, I think those are my main three ideas for this phone call today, Ryan. Is there anything else about Minnesota legislature you wanted to be sure to get out there before we wrap this up today?
Well, I think it's worth remembering that this has been one of the most challenging periods in Minnesota history. Not only do we have a global pandemic, but we then had the crisis last summer in Minneapolis and St. Paul related to the George Floyd killing. We have come through one of the most bruising and negative elections in our history in 2020, followed by the insurrection at the nation's capital and threats to politicians and leaders across the state just at the beginning of January. So it's been a really challenging time, but legislators of both parties continue to work to try to address the situation, try to make Minnesotans address the needs of Minnesotans and to keep doing the public's business. And I think from this point forward, things are looking better, and we are going to stay on the job, stay dedicated to trying to get things done for people in Minnesota.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ryan Winkler. We'll chat next week.